Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for I-10 Wired Radio, brought to you by IT Gulf Coast, Florida West, and App River.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. We are doing our last show for the day here before they start the, what is this,
the CIO panel.
Panel that's coming up. And it looks important because they got really tall chairs and a glass podium. So they're bound to be exciting. But this is the 11th Summit, I-10 Wired. And I've got a table full of characters. And I'm just going to let them introduce themselves and we'll just get rolling here.
I'm Glenda Snodgrass, President and Lead Consultant at The Net Effect in Mobile, a technology consulting firm specializing in information security, and one of the speakers at I-10 Wired again this year.
Yeah. Have you said that before?
Said that this is my third year, yeah.
All right, well, we got a rookie at the table too, I think.
Yeah. My name is Foster Ware. I'm the General Manager of Marketing and Sales for Gulf Power Company, so we're excited to be a part of I-10 Wired again this year as a silver sponsor.
Very cool. Well, we're glad you're here, man.
Yeah.
I am Ben White. I am the owner of Ben White Productions, the social media management company here in Pensacola. And I actually manage Pensacola Business Radio, so I'm just thrown on the panel.
It's one less thing I have to worry about.
Yeah.
Well, you got one more. You got to worry about me.
Man, it's not that bad, though.
I know.
They got people for that.
They do. I'm TJ Edwards. I'm an account executive for RJ Young. Been doing copiers for 21 years. And I'm on the panel here at I-10 Wired. This is my fourth year.
Yes, and for those of you who may not know TJ by his real name, he's the guy that wears the pink shirt.
That's tomorrow. I had it on today. They made me take it off, put this green thing on.
Which how dare they?
I've got more compliments on this green shirt.
I have.
Oh, yeah, those are great
really?
Shirts. They're
awesome.
We're going
pink next year.
I was wondering,
don't the speakers get special
shirts?
It is
October.
You know, that's a good idea.
I think they ought to, because those are awesome shirts.
So, Glenda, what would you like to see next year?
Gee.
You want a shirt?
The speakers should get the cool shirts next year. Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of the things that I asked for last year, we actually got this year. So, I'm excited.
We're responsive.
Because I said 2 days because it just went by too fast. Mm-hmm. And I said I wanted to see more things that were for the whole group at once or else to see breakouts repeated. Because last year I was so frustrated that every breakout session there were two things or three things I wanted to see and I couldn't do them all at once. So I'm really excited with the format this year. I think it's a huge improvement.
So that's good because we've just been here and sort of not in the breakout rooms because out here it's like we'll go through these lulls when you just wonder where everybody is. But apparently
they're breakouts. Yeah, my room was full this morning. I was really happy.
Good.
Yeah, it was great. It was good.
So how's business?
Business is good.
Yeah?
It's a great time to be a cybersecurity professional.
What I understand.
What can I say?
Yeah.
Well, we've been in this business 21 years, and it was really slow starting, and it picked up, and it's just in freight train mode at the moment.
Yeah, so what do you do? Can you scale?
Absolutely, yes. That's what we're built to do. We're very flexible. We work with primarily small and medium-sized businesses on network security assessments, writing their written security policies, working with them on developing employee training programs.
Yeah.
I do employee training, but I also do that for very large companies. I have clients with 11,000 employees that bring me in for employee training every few months.
Wow.
So definitely scale.
You're a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Getting bigger all the time.
Hey, are you still doing the... last time you were in the small studio before we moved, you had the biomechanic book.
Katie Bowman. Oh, yeah, I'm totally into that stuff.
What's your name?
Katie Bowman.
Okay, I've been waiting a long time to remember
to
that.
To ask me about that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That stuff has changed my life.
Yeah, so for those of you all that don't, explain it to these guys, because I think it's really fascinating.
Okay, so Katie Bowman is a biomechanist, and her theory is that many of the diseases that humans right now that we're suffering, especially in the first world, heart disease, diabetes, hip and knee replacements, all of those are related to the fact that we spend so much time sitting in chairs from the time we're 5 years old and go to school. And then we go to the gym and exercise really hard in one direction for an hour, if we do that at all.
Yeah.
And that our bodies were designed to move in different directions and different ways at different times. And so Katie advocates bringing movement into your life.
Yeah.
So my partners and I have taken this totally to heart in the office. I sit on a wobble stool. It literally wobbles. It has no back. I have a floor desk that my laptop is on. So when I work on my laptop, I sit on the floor. On the desk, I'm at a wobble stool. I have a balance board in the ladies' room that I stand on when I go down the ladies' room. We have
not when she uses the bathroom.
Not when I'm using the bathroom.
That would just be tricky.
We have a pull-up bar. We have a rope to climb. We have balls.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
We're really cool. Into movement, you know.
Functional movement, too.
Functional movement, exactly. And it has made such a difference in, like, back and knee problems.
Absolutely.
That we're all at that age where we were starting to have, you know, things.
Yeah.
And we've been doing this for maybe 3 years. Now, all of us have had all of those things go away. I mean, we've lost weight. We're in better shape. Nothing aches anymore. It's not hard to get out of bed in the morning. It's just awesome. I'm a huge fan of Katie Bowman.
Got it. Oh, now let me ask you this. What's the average length of a meeting at your company? Because I'm thinking, you know, hardback
that's
chairs.
A good question.
Two and a half hours, three hours.
We don't sit for meetings. We have them in an open room, and usually we're either walking around talking or somebody's sitting on the floor and somebody's walking around or something, but we don't ever, like, sit around a table and have a meeting.
That's good.
I mean, we do that with clients because clients like to do that.
Because they freak out when they see the room.
Yeah, if we were playing ball with the clients, they'd be like, what? That's awesome. Internally, all of our meetings are in motion.
I may try to incorporate that. You know, we've started a Monday morning stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
That we do, and we're just going
around
talking
about. That's a big improvement just from the sitting.
It is.
But it's even better if you can take all the furniture out of the room. That's the thing. Katie says all the furniture out of the house. Sleep on the floor, sit on the floor. She has a jungle gym in the living room for kids to climb on. And I've actually been moving towards that myself. It's made just an amazing difference in my health and mobility.
Because even technology, our bodies aren't designed to be on a phone.
No.
Or, you know,
to be looking down,
sit for hours.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the things that we do, our bodies are not designed to do that.
Absolutely.
Boy, that just makes us the intelligent species, doesn't it? What does that really have to say about the human race? So I have the name. I'm going to check it out because I do that now. Like, I'll find myself sitting on my knees for, 15 or 20 minutes.
Can't you tell a difference
totally.
In your knees not being stiff when you get out of bed in the morning?
Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
No more thrombosis, I think it's called. You know, where if you sit still too long and they go numb or, like,
right.
Your legs fall asleep? Yeah. Really odd thing that happens, but you know, kind of cool. Golf Power.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, you guys have a pretty big initiative going on right now, don't you? Last year we saw all the Tesla stuff kind of coming in and different options for really kind of putting some power back into the grids.
Yeah, you know, last year was around electric transportation and a lot of things go with that, from the charging infrastructure to Tesla has power walls, which have energy, obviously, within a battery. We are also looking at the whole IoT or Internet of Things around energy usage. And so the past presumption was that folks really aren't interested in that. They just want hot water, or they want their air conditioner or their heat. But as we look at the evolution of technology and everything being connected, so whether it is a Nest thermostat or an Ecobee thermostat or a Honeywell thermostat that says, I'm going to go on vacation, so let's turn that down. And then Alexa has been a huge game changer with voice enabled. And so
she's like the best friend that can never leave.
Well, but
it's
awesome. But it's interesting, though, because if you talk, and we've been talking a lot in this conference about the Internet of Things and connectivity, and as Glenda looks at me from the cybersecurity front, those are all open source.
Yeah.
So as we look to integrate that into electric grid and utility management, we've got to be very careful that we don't open up access points to our grid from a cybersecurity standpoint. And so when people may ask, well, what's the utility doing here at an innovation tech conference? It's the intersection of all those things, from what consumers want, to also protecting the grid from a cybersecurity standpoint.
And the mosquito zapper.
Yes, and we've got...
That was pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're continuing to look for creative ways of what consumers want. So in addition to providing...
I like how he says what consumers want as opposed to creative ways to kill mosquitoes.
Yeah. Well,
consumers want that.
Yeah. Consumers actually do want that. You'd be amazed. There's a line at that booth right now.
Oh, I know. I filled out the survey. I was like, oh, yeah, I want one of these.
You're the beta tester?
Do you have one for bears? Yeah. We have a really bear problem in Navarre.
Yeah. We're working on that. We're working on that. But right now we've got this mosquito trap pilot with... the city of Pensacola, as well as Escambia County, and we're putting those out at Maritime Park, Equestrian Center, to really help the city and the county with mosquito mitigation. So they're obviously doing a good job with the trucks and spray.
Oh, you got them up at the Equestrian Center? That should be interesting. I wonder how the horses react.
Yeah, so we're going to test that. I mean,
that'd be better than that fog.
Yeah, I mean, this technology uses a UV light to attract the mosquitoes, emitting the carbon dioxide. It sucks them in, and then it mitigates them, it traps them, and it helps with mosquito mitigation. So
it mitigates them by shredding them.
It shreds them.
Trapping means death.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Let's be clear on this.
Be nice.
But again, it's leveraging assets, whether it's a light pole or a distribution pole, and it's another way that we can integrate things with the utility company and provide a service that the customers want.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So and
it's innovative for an electric utility, right?
Yeah, kind of cool. Yeah.
And you guys just had your symposium last weekend, didn't you?
We did.
How did that go?
It went well. The main theme was together. And so we talk about this region, Northwest Florida, from Pensacola all the way to Panama City and beyond, and really working together on economic development and attracting companies and industries. We took a look at some geopolitical aspects, but the main thing was everyone needs to work together, have a regional attitude, and moving forward with economic development.
Cool. See, that's perfect, because that just folds right into I-10, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. So I'm going to give you my card, because this is like the third year it's gone by. I still haven't gotten an invite to the symposium, so.
We'll work on that. We'll get you there next year.
I actually had one of my friends who went this time. I was like, would you just sign me in so I'm on the list for next year? And I always forget that it's coming, and I've got something else going on. So maybe if I get an invite, I'll have enough warning.
All right, Keith. Got it. Gotcha.
So, all right, Ben. This is your first year here, man. What do you think?
I know.
So far?
I feel like I'm the least techie guy here.
Well, you're a social media dude.
I know. It's sort of technology, but like, what I'm impressed with is how, you know, inclusive it is, and how, you know, everybody seems to have a common theme with, you know, what they're interested in, whether it's cybersecurity, whether a social media guy like me can come in and, you know, feel welcome to it and feel like people have different aspects that they can relate to on different topics. I mean, we had a whole conversation about drones earlier, and that's something that falls in line with me, and it falls in line with cybersecurity. It falls in line with technology. So,
and then we went out and flew one.
We all went out and flew one, and I lost the card almost.
Bummer. And we didn't, you know, we didn't crash or get in trouble.
No, we did. It was a good time.
We followed the rules, sort of.
Yet.
But so I'll tell you what, though, Ben, as much as you say you may not be relevant in technology, every one of these people here either owns a business, is in a business, runs a business, and every single one of them has in some way, shape, or form had to become a marketer, if not for themselves, for their department, for their coworkers, or for their actual business that they own. And I don't know a more effective platform than social media these days.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Whatever the old dinosaur word I'm looking for that I can't find, whatever those techniques were, they're gone. The billboards, people still do them. I don't know why.
The junk mail.
That's coming back now because not a lot of people are doing it. So
really?
Those that are actually doing it are getting through now. Yeah.
Huh.
The direct mail thing is really working.
I mean, the broad reach of billboards and, you know, magazine ads and all that, it's becoming ineffective. And what I've seen is that people don't want to reach 1 million people. They want to reach 10,000 people that pertain to their business, that are targeted, qualified customers or clients. So they're looking to target, and the way to do that is through social media. And, you know, it just depends on what you're selling. So if you're a tourist company, which is a drone company that I work alongside with, they want to reach X number of people, whereas, you know, a car dealership wants to find a qualified buyer.
Right.
Right. And, you know, the biggest thing that I have found is so awesome is that it's all trackable.
Yeah.
It's all measurable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I can tell you who came in here at 2 o'clock and was wearing pink socks and doesn't like tacos on Thursday. Like, that's how detailed it gets, right?
Yeah. I had lunch with that guy.
Did you?
Yeah.
He didn't eat tacos,
did
he?
No, he didn't. Okay.
But even pertaining to technology and social media is how it's changed. So even 6 months ago, 7 months ago, being live was a ridiculous ask.
Yeah.
Whereas now, every platform has a live function to it.
Yeah.
And that's because the phones have changed, the platforms have changed so rapidly that now if alive is a thing. And you will see people in the mall that just walking around live for no reason at all.
Yeah.
So it's a blessing and a curse.
Do you remember, like, back in the day when Ben might not, because he's really young, but back in the day when, like, it was like live TV or you had a live TV special, how everybody was hyped up and it was everybody's on
a big thing.
Yeah, now we're like, whatever, just turn it on.
Yeah.
So mind your P's and Q's, I guess, all the time, right? Because you don't know. So Ben took over my social media because I've gotten to the point where there's too many things of internets of things to be doing. And so I finally had to let go. And that's a very hard thing to do as a business owner.
Yeah, it is.
No matter how much innovation or technology you have. But Ben has been doing a fantastic job. So I'm going to, if you don't believe me, go check out our posts.
Cool.
Yeah.
You guys will be on there, so you can snag some photos.
Like our page, all that good stuff. So, Ben, what do you think, like, the number one tip that somebody, just general user of social media, should do?
As a business owner?
Yeah.
Content. You have to be utilizing content influencer marketing as of right now, because longer the days of posting articles or stock photos and stuff like that. People want to see localized quality content. And you just can't get away from that anymore. And people actually need to start utilizing visual elements too, because a lot of people are still using statuses or text heavy. You got to go visual, and then video's not going away. I mean, we have a bunch of cameras in here for a reason, because people are enticed when there's a message brought to you.
We're nosy
from video.
We want to watch other people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
even live.
TJ, before they get started, yeah, if he's got it, we're good. Okay, we're getting flagged.
We can cut us off.
TJ didn't have anything important to say.
We can add you in later. We can get you his letter.
TJ's going to have his own show tomorrow morning, okay?
So, I'm used to this. Keith has always cut me off.
All right, you guys, we're out of here. We're going to start the CIO panel. Cool. So thank you all for being here.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
This show is brought to you by IT Gulf Coast, Florida West, and App River. If you are interested in sponsoring i10 Wired Radio, please call 850-288-9959.